Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Zurian Show. The Zurian Show brings and shares powerful and useful information to our listeners. The show is great for those looking for the positive in the world. The goal of the show is to share great information on a number of topics and great subjects. Many of the subjects covered are not only great information, but helpful insights. The Zurian Show even shares some of life's greatest lessons from time to time. Thank you for listening, and now to our host, Zurian.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Zurian Show. As always, we hope we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and, of course, good spirits. And today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about a subject that's near and dear to my heart, and when I actually heard about it, it really bothered me, and it bothered me on a number of different levels. It bothered me on the level of the fact that we have servicemen out there that are in pain, and a lot of them aren't getting the help that they need. It bothered me in the sense that a lot of the people around them aren't really paying attention or aren't noticing enough. It also bothered me in the point that these are our heroes. These are people that have given their lives and put their lives on the line for everybody that lives in our country, everybody that is looking for liberty, happiness, joy, the pursuit to do the things that they want to do. And these, again, gentlemen and ladies are heroes, and those are members of our military service. Today we have the honor of talking with Miss Alice Franks Gray. Miss Gray is definitely a phenomenal individual and is also spearheading a group, or one of the main people spearheading a group that is actually trying to work with veterans to help them to deal with some of the things that are going on. And the organization that she represents is the, National Alliance to End Veterans Suicides. Now, remember, these are guys that went to war to fight for you, and now because of other problems that have happened from them giving their service, they're actually taking their lives, not being able to adjust all of that. But I'm not going to really try to go into it because I really want her to share her message because she's got a lot of stuff to share with us. So as far as statistics and all that, I was going to go through it. I'm not going to go through it. Anyway, Alice, how are you?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm always all right till I can do better. And I really want to share with everybody that's listening today the services, well, about you, of course, about your organization and how you're out there helping servicemen and how you're stepping up into the forefront of trying to basically eliminate this phenomenal problem that is just all over the world, you know, and it's hitting all different people's lives and having effect on them. So could you tell us a little bit about you and then tell us about the organization?
Well, I actually came to this mission after working with Army One Source. Many of the folks be familiar with Army One Source and the online tool that they have in addition to Military One Source as resources for soldiers and service members and their families. And as a staff member, I was responsible for the upper Midwest areas of the United States, about 11 states in my region, with several community support coordinators that worked with me. And we accomplished the goal of kind of creating some wonderful community connections. But prior to that, I worked for 15 years as a emergency medical services responder in Wisconsin. Worked in emergency services on an ambulance for 15 years and then worked as a coroner medical legal death investigator. In fact, I'm board certified as a diplomat with the American Board of Medical Legal Death Investigation. So I saw up close and personal the effect of suicide on families and the survivors of those who die by suicide. And as I heard the statistic around veteran suicide, became very engaged in thinking about the similarities between the population of veterans that I had just worked with and the population of emergency services responders that I had worked with for 20 years here in Wisconsin. And there are some personality traits and some experiential things that are similar about those populations. And so some of the lessons that we learned in helping emergency services providers, I felt were applicable to the veteran population and that possibly we could utilize some of those tools that were already created in looking closer at the veteran suicide issue and how we might help veterans.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. So you actually come from an environment where you've actually been dealing with a lot of this in the past, and this phenomenon came to your awareness from
Correct.
All of that. Have a degree. You have a master's in, what is it, psychology?
I have a master's in psychology. After retiring from the work of death investigation, I went back to school and got my master's degree in psychology with a specialization in crisis response and management. And during that time spent the bulk of my studying more closely post-traumatic stress disorder, acute stress response, how we educate people before we expose them to trauma to help them be more resilient when facing trauma and traumatic situations, because there are some statistics and some data around what's called psychoeducation and resiliency training that is very helpful. So that when we're sending people into situations where we know they're going to be seeing the worst of the worst and being asked to do the worst things, that we then prepare them with the tools to build their resiliency and recognize their own weaknesses, because you're never more strong than when you can recognize where your weaknesses are and address those.
Right.
That's an important piece. So yes, my background is I'm one of those people that went to people's houses at 2:30 in the morning, knocked on their door, and told strangers that the person they loved the most in the world was not coming home. That's my background and my experience. And it had an effect on me, and I know what our veterans have gone through has had effects on them as well, both positive and negative.
Yeah, so it sounds like you were a perfect fit to become the Director of Strategic Initiatives for the National Alliance to End Veteran Suicide, which is phenomenal. Ladies and gentlemen, also, if anybody would like to call in, if you have a question or a comment for Alice, the number to call into is 323-443-7471. Again, that's 323-443-7471. And also, the chat room is open for anybody that actually has a question that they'd like to chat in. So, that's, we can actually talk about this. But, ladies and gentlemen, one of the other things I'd really like you to do before Alice goes on is this is a show that I want you to share, and I want you, if you know somebody right now that's going through this or dealing with it, to actually get them to listen to this show and to also search Alice out and her organization so that they can get help. Anyway, continue, Alice.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about how the Alliance came to be, what our history is to date, and where we see ourselves going. Some of that I'll be able to do in this show. Some of it I will do in the next conversation that we have that's coming up, I think, in a week, if I'm correct. But the National Alliance to End Veteran Suicide came about as a project of the Veterans Family Fund of America. The Veterans Family Fund is an established not-for-profit organization that began in Washington State. It was an active partnership between public organizations and private organizations, kind of a partnership that the state VA developed with private citizens to help meet the needs that the VA was finding themselves hitting a roadblock and being unable to meet some needs of veterans and their families. So they looked to the not-for-profit to provide some assistance where they couldn't. And so the Veterans Family Fund over the years has adopted what they felt were worthy projects and then provided support, kind of a growth incubator for other projects. And the National Alliance to End Veteran Suicide has been one of those growth programs.
Mm-hmm.
Our founder is an Army veteran. His name is Rod Whitmer. And Rod, like myself, heard the statistics around the troubling statistics that are available about veteran suicide death, and basically said what a lot of older veterans I've heard say is not on my watch. This is not going to happen in my country, not on my watch, and I need to do what I can do to create an environment where veterans feel supported and where we can engage the community in supporting veterans in a way that's meaningful and has content and is around a solid framework. So Rod asked me to join the initiative, and I did. It's been almost 2 years ago now since I started. And because my background wasn't within the veteran community, I have three older brothers that were Vietnam-era veterans, and also have three of my nephews that have served most recently. In fact, I have one grandnephew who's in the I'm aging myself horribly here, but one of my grandnephews is in the Navy as we speak, and just finished working in Australia and is now coming back to the States for a while. So I've had that experience of having family be closely connected and having been a sister to veterans and kind of seeing it from a distance, but not really having that experience myself. I knew that I needed to learn more about the population. One of the things that actually happens with mental health professionals, and part of the reason that many veterans have a lack of respect for mental health professionals, is that there are many who don't take the time and don't necessarily always have the time to learn more about the veteran culture. And so if a veteran comes in, and veterans tend to not come in until they're up to their neck in alligators, if they do come in and seek assistance, that mental health professional better know how to work with that culture. Or what will happen is that veteran will leave, not feel that they've gotten any assistance, and try to deal with things on their own, which sometimes leads to self-medicating, risk-taking behaviors, all kinds of things that can eventually lead down the road to a loss of a life. So,
definitely know what you're talking about. I was in the Marine Corps for 22 years, and I know it's a oorah-oorah type of mentality, and a lot of medical professionals, they don't have the correct interpersonal skills to understand a person that's been in war, combat, or the military as a whole. Please continue.
Absolutely. It's a hard population to get to know. You folks don't let others in easily, and so I feel very honored that I have the relationships that I have with veterans, having not been a veteran myself and just being someone that's on the periphery. So sometimes I'll hear veterans say, well, the only people in the general public don't understand, and I, you know, kind of say, hey, I'm here. I do kind of understand. I know I'm never going to fully understand, but based on my experiences, I think I at least have some parallel experiences that give me an increased depth of understanding for what veterans have gone through. So, you know, I want to stand up and say, I may not completely get you, but at least I know, I'm aware that I don't, and work very hard to gain a complete understanding of your experiences so that we can better serve you as an organization, and we can better design an organization that's going to really meet the needs of both those mental health professionals that are trying to come to the table, that really have good intentions, that want to help, and those peer support, other veterans that can be trained. I actually believe that some of the best skilled support is probably going to come from within the veteran community to assist other veterans, because that truly is a population that does understand what's happened, what's gone on, and the challenges that you face. So to get kind of back to how we developed the alliance and how I looked at moving us forward, I looked at the personality traits of emergency services providers, and there's a listing that was created by a gentleman called Jeff Mitchell, and Dr. Mitchell is kind of known as the guru of critical incident stress management. Well, critical incident stress management, post-traumatic stress disorder, and all of those kind of psychological terminology things are really interesting and is the stuff that, you know, can keep me up nights reading, but I don't necessarily always find that other people are as enamored of it as I am. So to cut it down, basically what Dr. Mitchell said, and there's been some debate in the psychological community about this, is that emergency services providers, and from my experience working with veterans, I've also found the veterans have these personality traits as well, that we tend to be inner-directed, We tend to be action-oriented people. We demand high standards of performance. We tend to be very traditional and have historical work within organizations that have strong histories and strong traditions. So we tend, for the most part, to be kind of socially conservative, that we're easily bored. We like the bells and whistles. We like the adrenaline rush. We like all of those things. And we also are highly dedicated people. So all of those personality traits that kind of fit with emergency services personnel, I saw as really fitting very closely with the veterans that I've had the pleasure of being around and working with. So in looking at how we developed the focus areas for the National Alliance and how we developed our programming and how we've been looking at addressing this, I wanted us to think in terms of some important pieces. And the pieces that I wanted to include were psychoeducation and resiliency building pieces, that there be peer support also as a component of the work that we were doing, that we were able to train and screen peers of all ranks, because that is an important component. It was an important component for us in working with emergency services personnel. And that the programming be confidential, that if a peer that's working with any of our groups breaks confidentiality, that they're done, that's the end of the relationship. That mental health professionals work with this organization in a really active partnership. For a couple of reasons, they need to have the what's called cross cultural training, which basically means they need to learn about the population that they're working with, and they also need to be the people that the peers can check in with for self care, because people who work with people who are traumatized and stressed get stressed too. You can't hear other people's stories and not have that in some ways attached to you as well. It's very difficult to not feel other people's pain if you are a caring person. So having mental health professionals around to help the peers and to help those of us who work in the field and have had other people's stories impact us, it's important for us to be able to reach out and find some assistance.
It's very true. We even have a person in the chat room that said that they love the link with emergency services personnel. This person is Police Wives Talk Radio that's listening in.
Terrific. And that's a really neat group that's just beginning. I'm going to be talking with their on their blog talk show very soon. It's a really good program. And there are so many interconnections between law enforcement spouses and military spouses that it's incredible the connections that are there, that once these populations of people begin to start to talk to one another, they realize, okay, there are people out there that get it. There are people that are living kind of, not exactly my life, but have had similar experiences and really, really get it. So in developing the pieces for the mission, the vision, and the focus areas, that's kind of where all of those things that we've developed as an organization have been rooted from. Our mission, of course, is to end veteran suicide in our nation through our focus areas of research, education, resource provision, and community collaboration or community engagement. Our vision is to create an organization very similar in scope to other large national health organizations, like the American Cancer Society, like the American Lung Association. We aren't looking to create a neighborhood coffee house, although those are valuable and wonderful entities, and I can talk to you about a great group in Wisconsin called Dry Hooch of America that's creating exactly those things throughout the country, neighborhood coffee houses for veterans that also have the peer support component that I've already talked about. There's some wonderful things going on, but what we're looking to create is this large national organization that will really serve as that entity to be a voice where maybe the structured governmental entities and some of the more structured government-funded entities haven't been able to quite handle all of this. We think that by bringing in the volunteers that we should be able to then meet needs as they arise and meet needs and make a solid difference. So creating this committed, trained, recognized group of volunteer champions that are actively engaged in addressing this alarming concern of suicide deaths among veterans will impact the concern and provide resources to veterans, families, and survivors through these four focus areas.
Very cool. Well, it looks like you're definitely starting to grow a pretty good network. I call it, I tell people you have to stop networking and start net weaving, which isn't my word, but it's still a critical word. And I guess you're going to be with the Police Wives Radio on the 21st of April?
Yes, that sounds correct, and I'll take that call. I'll take that person's word for it because I don't have my calendar in front of me right now. Yes, and that would be a wonderful opportunity for spouses to tune in and have a conversation around resiliency building for them and their families as well.
Again, I can bond with both of you because I'm not only prior Marine for 22 years, I also served in law enforcement with New York City and with Virginia for a couple of years, or several years actually. So I understand.
That is so common that veterans are seeking law enforcement careers. It is very, very common. I run into law enforcement personnel on a regular basis that have also had military service. There's something about those two populations that draw them to one another. I used to say there's something about law enforcement personnel and ER nurses that draw them together. I used to know so many ER nurses that were married to law enforcement personnel. It was that there's something about those careers that they're drawn to each other. It's interesting populations and interesting pairings and collaborative.
Well, you know, the other thing that would be phenomenal is if more of us could understand that if we work together as a team, we could become an awesome force to be reckoned with. But everybody wants to be the lone soldier. And they find out that in the end they end up being alone or not existing.
Well, that is the reality. We can't stand by ourselves and create a wall. We have to bring other people to the forefront to stand with us to create the wall. You can't be strong alone. The wind will eventually push you over. And there are so many stresses inherent in deployment and recovery from deployment, whether or not you've been overseas. I talked a week ago with a nurse that was pulled out of her career, an Army Reserve nurse, and she was pulled out of her civilian career and sent to work in a stateside facility and worked with soldiers. And there were some of the soldiers that she worked with in rehab had ended their own lives after they were released from the facility, and it was horribly overwhelming to her. And she wasn't going to be able to get benefits because she hadn't been deployed overseas, and there was a limitation to what was able to be done for her with regard to psychological support. So it's those kinds of pieces of the puzzle that we have to put together, that we have to help each other with, that we have to recognize that whatever your experience as a result of these conflicts, it is unique to you, but you're not the only person suffering. And there's nothing more powerful than a group of people who get it, who get that we have shared experiences, coming together and saying, we've had this shared experience, we want to fix this. It needs
Very
to get
true.
Better.
And could you share with everybody that's listening, because we have several people that are actually listening, and we have one caller, so we're going to try to take that person's comment or question before we go. But could you also share with people how they can get in contact with you? The link is on the site. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Please feel free, go to our website. There's several different ways of connecting with the National Alliance. We do have a Facebook page. We're virtually friendly, and in fact, most of our work, because we're a national organization, is going on in the virtual environment right now. So there's much that's happening virtually. So Facebook is one way to get a hold of us. Another way to connect is through LinkedIn. There's a page to follow for our organization. There's also, I'm on LinkedIn, so people who want to connect with me personally, feel free to you know, look me up on LinkedIn and ask to connect or send me an email message through LinkedIn. We also have the LinkedIn, and then we also have our National Alliance website, which has the address, post office box address, has a telephone number, has other contact information there. So it's very easy to continue this dialogue. And again, we're going to continue it here on this show in another week or so.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, we're going to go ahead and take that caller. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I'll give you a little bit more information at the end of the show, but let's go ahead and get that caller. Hello, this is Zurian with the Zurian Show. You have a question or comment?
Hi there. Yes, this is Mrs. B with Police Wives Talk Radio. How are you?
Oh, I'm always all right till I can do better.
All right. Well, I've certainly enjoyed listening to my colleague, Alice, talking about the National Alliance in Veteran Suicide. And one thing, and I haven't had a chance to connect with Alice on this, but one thing recently, I had a really great conversation with a lady veteran in my neck of the woods who is very, very engaged with wanting to reach out and support women veterans. And I just wanted to see what the Alliance has been doing with their net weaving. I love that term. I'm going to steal it regarding specific outreach or specific supports to identify for our women veterans, because the concern is that they just don't engage how men do, which is you know, I mean, obviously there are differences there, but there's still just a lot of women who are just really, really just guarded or just even not sure about identifying and connecting.
Yes, unfortunately, with most of us, first off, we're all human beings. We've all served. But unfortunately, the consistency of inconsistencies is just a bit too consistent, and we've got people dying, and that's acceptable.
Oh, correct. And I think, you know, what we've seen in the statistical information is that the numbers of veterans that are and first of all, I can go on for about an hour on the statistical data and the fact that the majority of the statistics that we're seeing around veteran suicide is estimates based on the best guesses of the Veterans Health Administration at this point. Now, part of that is, and to get to, you know, to talk a little bit about the gender differences, that there certainly is a need to outreach within the female veteran community as well as within the male veteran community. The experiences are different, yet again, as with the experiences of emergency services personnel and the experiences of other people who work in very high stress and horrific and experience horrific things within their workplace, some of the experiences are shared. So what they found statistically over the years in looking at post-traumatic stress response is that there's not a huge gender difference in responses. What we do see in suicide numbers is that men are more likely to die from suicide or die from risk-taking behavior that may have suicidal intent. You know, we've all heard of the suicide by cop issue, where a veteran is in a standoff situation and an officer is forced to shoot, and oftentimes they're killed as a result of that exchange, and that's a horrific situation for the family of the veteran and also for the law enforcement officer who is in that situation of having to, you know, protect their own life using a fatal form of protection. And so I think, you know, we are, you know, to answer the question, we are reaching out to the female veterans. I wouldn't say that at this point in our structure we have a lot of solid relationships with organizations that are working with female veterans. That's an ongoing struggle and an ongoing push for me to bring more people strategically from that population to the table, and have made some inroads there with some organizations that are now linking with us on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just a matter of time, and we'll see more of those folks come to the table, but I really appreciated the question.
Outstanding. Well, a caller, I hope you got that. I know you do, plus that you guys are colleagues, so you're already working on weaving that relationship into having more.
Absolutely.
Anyway, we are just about out of time. And, you know, it's really funny. I met a lady today that wrote a book that she just put out. It's called True Identities. And she's actually a recently retired Army person. She was in the Army for a number of years, and she recently retired. And she was just talking to me about, you know, her being in Afghanistan and how it affected her. But the name of her book is True Identities. It's Spiritual Poetry and Inheritance by a, what's her name, India Wilson. But anyway, again.
Great resources.
Yeah, true. Ladies and gentlemen, we really need to address this topic. We need to work together, and we need to understand something, that if all of us work together as a team, then guess what? We can conquer anything. Stop waiting for the government. Stop waiting for somebody else to do it. Get out there and do your part, and then guess what? You'll find yourself a success. It's baby steps to get you where you need to go. Again, I want to thank you for coming on, Alice, talking with us about the National Alliance to End Veteran Suicide. And also I want to thank the caller that called in. I think that that was pretty phenomenal, and I know that you ladies are going to pretty much knock it out the box. There's almost no question there just from listening to you, and you already have that synergy. And the actual link to you is actually on the website. Please go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, and look at the link and call Alice. And again, Alice and the other young lady are going to get together with the Police Wives Talk Radio, and they're going to create a synergy that is going to be unbelievable. And I hope that the Zurian Show can also be a part of that. Anyway, thank you very much again, Alice, for coming on. We truly appreciate it.
It was a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you. And, ladies and gentlemen, if you like us, in the upper left corner of the show, just click follow and you hear about other shows that come on. We have a number of different speakers and that talk about different things on different subjects, all positive and all trying to help each and every one of us to grow, because we all need help, and there's help out there for everyone. Again, this is Zurian of the Zurian Show. I want to thank everybody for listening. Again, I want to thank Ms. Graves for being so kind to share some of her precious time with us. And I wish you all the best. And take care, be well, and have a blessed day.